Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to Bible Crossfire. We've been emphasizing a verse the last several weeks, Proverbs 14, verse 12. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I think this represents one of the biggest problems in religion today, what people call Christianity. They do what seems right to them, not what is right. What is right is defined by God's word. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So God's word represents the truth, but people, instead of opening up God's word to find out what's right, they do what seems right to them. Not necessarily what's right according to God, but seems right to them. And a perfect example, I think, of this idea of what seems right to us, therefore we're going to believe it, is this idea that infants are born totally depraved or guilty of the original sin of Adam. I thought we'd, for the next several weeks, talk about Calvinism. And this acrostic or acronym TULIP represents the 5 points of Calvinism. TULIP, T for total depravity, U for unconditional election, L for limited atonement, meaning Jesus died not for everybody, but just some, I for irresistible grace, and P for perseverance or preservation of the saints. TULIP, I think the Bible teaches all 5 of those points of Calvinism are false. All 5 of them are false. Now, the Calvinist, the true Calvinist, will tell you that if one is proven false, then they all topple. They all stand or fall together. I agree with that. All we got to do is prove one of them false, and they all are proven false. Over the course of the next few weeks, I hope, Lord willing, to prove all 5 of them are false. And the one I want to start with, today is the first one on the list, total depravity, or the idea that infants are born guilty of the original sin of Adam. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about whether or not that's true. Now I want to start with a passage in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 18:20. And by the way, if you have a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open. Give us a call at 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. Here's a verse. I'm about to read it. It's so clear on this subject. It's like God anticipated that the Catholics and the Calvinists were going to make up this doctrine of total depravity, inherited original sin. He anticipated that, and he put a verse in the Bible that's so clear, it's unmistakable. He put a verse in the Bible anticipating that to say, what they're going to make up one day is false. Here it is. Ezekiel 18:20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. If God had wanted to say that infants are not born inheriting the guilt of the sin, the original sin of Adam, how could he have said it any clearer than what this verse says? The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, meaning the third son of Adam and Eve, Seth, who we probably all came from, did not inherit the guilt of the sin of Adam. Now, the Calvinists and the Catholics say, well, he did. He inherited the sin of Adam, the original sin of Adam, and Seth's son inherited it from him, and his son inherited from him and their daughters, and it comes all the way down to Pat Donahue through my dad, Kenneth. But this verse says, I didn't inherit any guilt of sin from my dad, Kenneth Donahue, and Seth didn't inherit any sin from the guilt of Adam, and nobody has ever inherited any sin from their parents, according to this. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. In other words, if you do something righteous, I'm not going to get credit for that. You are. And if I do something wicked, you're not going to be charged with that. I am. And if Adam does something wicked, you and I are not going to be charged with that. Adam is. This verse answers the question of are babies born guilty of sin? The following is God's answer to that question. Are babies, infants, born guilty of the sin of Adam? Verse 20. When the son hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Verse 20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Verse 20. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. And verse 20. The wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. The son, nobody inherits bears the iniquity of the father. Everybody's responsible for their own sin. The person who does the wickedness, he's going to be charged with the wickedness. So I don't inherit the sin of my biological father, Kenneth, nor the sin of Adam, and neither did Seth inherit the sin of Adam. It is so clear. Like I said, it's as if God anticipated that the Catholics and the Calvinists were going to make up this doctrine. So he put a verse in the Bible hundreds of years before they made the doctrine up to counteract it. It's so clearly against it. Infants are not born guilty of sin. They're born completely innocent. We see that in a passage like Ecclesiastes 7:29. Here's that verse. Ecclesiastes 7:29. God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices. That's the New American Standard Version of Ecclesiastes 7:29. King James Version says God hath made men upright, but they have sought out many inventions. But that's not talking about inventions like inventing a light bulb. The other verses will say something like schemes or sinful schemes. God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices. What does upright mean here? Well, dictionary.com defines this word as righteous, honest, or just. So that is how God made us. Psalms 25 verse 8 says, good and upright is the Lord. So that is how God is. God is upright. So when God says, when the Bible says God made man upright, it's talking about upright, like God. Micah 7:2, there is none upright among men. So not upright means sinful, which would mean upright means not sinful. And the Bible says God made mankind, New International Version, or people, New American Standard Version, upright. This is opposite of the position that man is born with inherited original sin. Now, it says God made man upright, but they have sought out many devices. How do I know Ecclesiastes 7:29 means God made every man, as in mankind, New International Version, upright, and not just that God was created, Adam was created upright in the creation? Because the second part of the verse tells why man is not still upright. It's because they, plural, not just Adam, have sought out many devices. Plural, not just Adam's one original sin. You see that? God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices. If this was just to talk about Adam, that Adam was the only one made upright, it would have said, God made man upright, but he sought out one device. It doesn't say that. God made men upright, but they, plural, have sought out many devices. So this is not talking about just Adam, but it's talking about all of mankind. And it tells us the reason we're not upright anymore. I'm not upright. It's not because Adam sinned. It's not because I was born that way. I was born upright. God made me upright. The reason I'm upright is because I've sought out many devices. They, plural, have sought out many devices. So this, when it says God made man or men upright, it's talking about all of mankind. What the Bible is saying here is that every time an infant is born, God made him upright, without sin, good, just like God. If you can make anything out of that verse other than that, you call in and let us know, because I'm curious what else that could mean besides the fact that babies are not born guilty of sin. And the number to call is 877-655-6755. Again, the passage is, God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices. So everybody, every infant is born upright, innocent of sin. Nobody inherits the guilt of the original sin of Adam. Nobody's born totally depraved. They all develop that attitude. God made men upright, but they have sought out many devices. Everybody sins and is separated from God. They're not upright anymore because they sin. You see that? That's what that verse says, plain and clear. Give me a call if you disagree or if you just want to make a comment. The number is 877-655-6755. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. You know, there's an interesting question. If every man, as the Calvinists and the Catholics say, every man is born guilty of the Adamic sin, the original sin of Adam, where would that leave Jesus? The consequences of this inherited sin depravity theory would be that Jesus inherited sin or depravity. He's a man. Well, he became a man. But contrary to that, Ephesians 4:15 says that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was without sin. How was Jesus without sin if every man is born guilty of sin? He's born as a man. That doesn't make any sense. How come Jesus was born innocent? Notice, Jesus had the same flesh and blood as us. Hebrews 2:14 says, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, talking about Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same. He partook of flesh and blood just like the rest of us. So if all men are born guilty of the sin of Adam, the original sin of Adam, then Jesus would have been born guilty of the original sin of Adam. And if that were the case, then he wouldn't have been innocent and couldn't have died for our sins. He wouldn't have been the lamb without blemish, would he? But that's the consequences of this Catholic Calvinistic doctrine that all men are born guilty of sin. The consequences is that Jesus would have been born guilty of sins because he became a man and he could not have died on the cross for us. Sarah from Indianapolis, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Okay, I apologize because I've been driving and I don't have the full scripture, although I read it earlier today. I really think this is a great study, but I just want to make sure that it's fully accurate. There is a verse in the New Testament, and maybe you know where it's at. It talks about federal headship, that all who are in Adam through the first sin receive death and the sinful nature, and that we're born with the sinful nature. And then the second one, is there somewhere, I don't know if it's the Old or the New Testament, but it says some babies are born wicked, or they come out of the womb wicked.
Okay, so the passage that talks about the federal headship is Romans chapter 5. Now, I'm going to read to you Romans 5:12. I was going to get to this in a minute, Romans 5:12, because...
Okay.
And I appreciate you bringing this up. I was going to get to it in a minute because I've done a number of public debates on this issue with Catholics and Calvinists. And there's two passages that they bring up more than any other passages by far. And the first one is, or one of the first two, is Romans 5:12. This is Romans 5. This is where it talks about the headship, the federal headship. In other words, Adam is our head and Christ undid what Adam did, right? That's what you're talking about, right? Now, here's Romans 5:12, Sarah, and I want us to think about this together. Remember, this is the number one passage, or perhaps number two, that the Calvinists and Catholics use to prove babies are born guilty of sin. Here it is, Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, there's your federal headship, and the rest of the chapter delves into this a little more, but there's your federal headship. It says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. Who's that one man, Sarah?
Adam.
Adam. That's exactly right. Adam is our federal head, as they say. It says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. And that describes exactly the first part of that verse, Sarah, you would agree, describes exactly what happened in the book of Genesis. There's no sin in the world. Adam sins, and now he's the first one to sin. He brings sin into the world, and therefore he brings death, spiritual death, into the world. Isn't that what the first part of that verse says?
Yes.
Wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. That's exactly right. Before Adam, there was no sin, no spiritual death. He sinned first. He brought in sin and death. Now, let me read the second part of this verse. It's critical. And so death, and we're still talking about spiritual death here, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So why did spiritual death, Sarah, pass upon all men?
For all have sinned.
Yeah, not because Adam sinned. Yeah, it's true that Adam brought sin into the world, and therefore death, spiritual death, was brought into the world. That's true. But the reason death passed upon all men, to other men other than Adam, is because they sinned. The reason that Sarah and Pat die spiritually is because Sarah and Pat sin respectively. I mean, isn't that what the Bible says? The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. And it doesn't say this about the Israelites in Isaiah 59:2. Your sins have separated between you and your God. What separates us from God? Our sin. We see that everywhere.
Yep.
We're not, when he told the Israelites, your sins have separated between you and your God, it wasn't Adam's sin that separated them from God. If Adam's sin had separated them from God, they would already been separated. No, they were separated from God by their own sin. And so that's what Romans 5:12 says. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's pretty clear, isn't it, Sarah?
Yes.
And that's a supposedly a proof text for this born guilty of sin theory of the Catholics and the Calvinists. And it says the very opposite. It should have said, and so death passed upon all men for that Adam, or for that the one man had sinned. But it didn't say that. It said death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Do you see my point, Sarah?
Yes.
Appreciate your good call, okay?
All right. Thank you.
Drive safe. And so we were looking at Hebrews. Hebrews teaches that Jesus was made like us. Hebrews 10:17, it says, wherefore in all things it behooved him, talking about Jesus, to be made like unto his brethren. Hebrews 4:15, which you've already read, says he was tempted just like we are. So Jesus was made just like us in this respect. He's made a man. And so that if men inherit the sin of Adam through their parents, and it goes all the way down through there, Jesus was born of Mary. Why didn't he inherit sin? The fact that he didn't inherit any sin proves that nobody inherits sin, doesn't it? Because he's just, the Bible says in Hebrews 3 or 4 times here that he's made just like us. And so if he made just like us and he didn't inherit sin, that would mean that we don't inherit sin. It'd have to mean that, wouldn't it? That's pretty clear. And what the passage that Romans 5:12 that Sarah brought up is pretty clear. Now here's another passage I want you to consider. Deuteronomy 32:5. Now, I'll mention the number again. If you have a Bible question on this or any other Bible topic, feel free to give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 877-655-6755. The number to call is 877-655-6755. Here's how Deuteronomy 32:5 reads. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Now, if it says they corrupted themselves, that would imply they weren't corrupt beforehand. They corrupted themselves. But if they had been born guilty of Adam's sin, they couldn't have corrupted themselves. They'd have already been corrupted. You see that? This corruption that occurs to men, to people, occurs in their lifetime, not before birth. They have corrupted themselves. That's what the Bible says. Here's how Genesis 6:12 puts it. God looked upon the earth, and it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Now, if everybody's born with Adamic sin, meaning they're born guilty, inheriting the original sin of Adam, the Bible couldn't say they corrupted themselves. They would have already been corrupt. No, they corrupted themselves, meaning they started out just like Ecclesiastes 7:29 says. God made them upright. He didn't make them corrupt. They were made upright. They were made completely innocent. You can look at a baby and tell he's innocent. And the Bible confirms that over and over and over again. He's born completely innocent of sin. This is something the Calvinists and the Catholics made up. And then Deuteronomy 32:5 and Genesis 6:12 says they corrupt themselves. Why are we sinners? Not because we're born that way. We corrupt ourselves. We don't have anybody to blame but our own self. We sin, therefore we're lost spiritually. That has nothing to do with Adam's sin. Spiritually it doesn't. Adam was lost spiritually because of his own sin. Remember what God told Adam and Eve? In the day that you eat, you shall surely die. Genesis 2:17. He didn't say anything about us dying spiritually. He said, Adam, you will die if you eat. Everybody dies because of their own sin. Now, let's talk about something else. According to the Bible, are we born astray or do we go astray? You see the significance of the question? Are we born astray? That's the Calvinist and the Catholic position. We're born astray. Or do we go astray? That's the Bible position. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Well, if you're born astray, you can't go astray because you'd already be astray, right? If a sheep's already lost, how can he lose himself if he's already lost? No, he goes astray, meaning he's there. The sheep is in the fold. He goes astray. That means he started out in the fold. If you go astray, that means you weren't astray to start with. How about Romans 3:12? They are all gone out of the way. They go out of the way. People go out of the way. They don't start out that way. It says they are all gone out of the way. How about 2 Peter 2:15? They have forsaken the right way and are gone astray. Well, if they were born that way, they couldn't have gone astray. Gone astray means they started out okay in the right place, and then they have gone astray. They sinned, and they were lost. Now, they weren't born that way. They didn't start out astray. They were gone astray. Gone astray means we didn't start out astray, right? And that the fault of our being astray from God lies squarely on our own shoulders. Quit trying to blame somebody else for our predicament. The fact that we're lost. We're not lost because of anybody's sin except our own. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. How about the fact that Jeremiah 19:4 calls children innocence? Here's how that verse reads. Jeremiah 19:4. Because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place and have burned incense in it unto other gods and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. This verse is referring to the people burning their sons or children with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, a false god. And it says they have filled this place with the blood of innocents. I-N-N-O-C-E-N-T-S. These children are called innocents. How could they be innocent if they're born guilty of sin? They couldn't be. How? The Catholics and the Calvinists can't call babies innocent. They're guilty of the original sin of Adam. But the Bible calls them innocent. Compare that to Jesus being called innocent, Matthew 27:4. What does that mean? That Jesus was a sinner, guilty of Adam's sin or his own sin? Or does it mean he was innocent of sin? Well, if babies are called innocent, that would mean they're innocent of sin also. No, they're not guilty of the sin of Adam. Adam is guilty of the sin of Adam. People are only guilty of their own sin. The Catholic Calvinist position is contradicted by this verse that says children are innocent. Greg, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, that answered that. Thank you.
You're welcome. You agree with me then? Greg accidentally dropped off, I guess. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 reads this way. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now notice, we're talking about the judgment day. We're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be judged. Are we going to be judged based upon, is Pat going to be judged based upon something Adam did way before I ever lived? No, it says I'll be judged based upon things done in my body. Meaning while I was still alive. Things that we do, not something we inherit. Things that I do in my body while I'm still alive. This is clearly against this born in sin idea. Marty from Mississippi, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, I was just wondering, you know, how can we not be sinners when, you know, we were born not as a virgin birth, but through, you know, intercourse and, but God was, Jesus was born of a virgin birth. So therefore, yes, he didn't have any sin, but.
No, you know, why does that have anything to do with anything? If my parents were born from intercourse, but there was no sin in that. It's not wrong for a husband and wife to have intercourse. So why would that have to do with anything? That doesn't change anything.
Well, not everybody. Wait now. Not everybody is born of marriage. And, you know, some people is born of illegitimate.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you something, Marty. When the baby is born from illegitimate parents, who sinned? The parents or the baby?
The parents.
The parents, not the baby. And then a lot of babies are born legitimately. The parents have sex inside of marriage. There's no sin at all. So it has nothing whatever to do with this question, the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin, because sex inside of marriage is not a sin. And even if somebody's born from sex outside of marriage, it's the parents. It's the parents that are in sin, not the baby. But we're going to have to go off the air. We got to go off the air in 25 seconds. We have some more calls. Hopefully, Mary, you can stay on the line and we'll talk to you in a minute. What I want to mention is if you would like to have a free 1-hour phone Bible study with me over the phone sometime at your convenience, call or text me at 256-682-9753. Call or text me 256-682-9753. 682-9753 if you'd like to have a free 1-hour phone Bible study.